Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we take our first look at what we might expect from the Detroit Lions as we inch closer to the NFL draft, which takes place at the end of the month on April 25th, 26th, and 27th. Free agency dust is settling, and we have a clearer picture of what some positions might be the focus of. We'll discuss those and potential variables to look out for. We'll also update you on where things stand with season tickets and that wait list. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Jason Gabenda with the Detroit Lions, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today by James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast. That drops on Mondays. James, as usual, it's good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Always good to be talking Lions.
That it is, even at this point in the offseason, which actually is a point where things are starting to get a little exciting. We had free agency. The dust is settling on free agency, and we're getting ready for the draft. So, James, let's start right there, the end of free agency. I mean, it's not the end. It's an ongoing thing, but it's the end of the frenzy, if you will. And Brad Holmes, back at the owners' meeting, recently spoke about free agency, and he said that they think this is the best free agency class yet. He said that the Lions got all their top targets, DJ Reader, Kevin Zeitler, Amik Robertson. Now, shortly after he said this, Josh Reynolds did sign with the Denver Broncos, and that was a person they said they were still talking with. Now, they made some trades as well. They made that trade for Carlton Davis III, and a couple other recent moves, more recent ones since we've done an episode, was matching that contract offer for Brock Wright, bringing the tight end back, and bringing back defensive back Kendall Vildor as well. So, I guess, James, let's start with general manager Brad Holmes' comments, his best free agency class yet. Do you agree with these?
I mean, as far as a Brad Holmes free agency class, yeah. I mean, you know, you know that he's not going to go out and he's not going to overspend. He's not going to pay for a lot of guys. He's not going to get the top of the position guys that you probably want if you're, you know, an NFL fan and a Lions fan. You're always daydreaming about, you know, Madden video game moves, and that's, you know, Brad Holmes is playing chess instead.
I agree with that Madden video game move thing, because I even go older and go Tecmo Super Bowl, because I remember there was like a trade mode in there, and I would trade players to try and stack my Lions team. But let's just quickly look at free agency for the last two seasons for the Lions to kind of compare that. If we go to the 2022 offseason, that was their first offseason after a full season in the job. The Lions brought in DJ Shark at wide receiver. We were pretty thrilled about that move when they made it. They brought in Mike Hughes at defensive back. They got Isaiah Bugs and Chris Borden, Deshaun Elliott. And that's also when they brought back Tracy Walker in that three-year, $25 million contract. Now, that brought some excitement, but things didn't work out the way we wanted. Obviously, there's things you can't control. DJ Shark did not give the return we were hoping for. He got banged up a bit throughout the season. Tracy Walker tore his Achilles. Isaiah Bugs did make an improvement and was an impact player for that season in 2023. And then we look at the 2023 offseason, just a year ago. David Montgomery was the big signing on the offensive side, that three-year, $18 million deal. The biggest signing, and you talked about those big signings, this was a Cam Sutton three-year, $33 million deal. Lions also brought in Emmanuel Mosley on a one-year, $6 million deal. Graham Glasgow on that one-year, $4.5 million deal. C.J. Gardner-Johnson on a one-year deal, I think that was about $8 million. And then Marvin Jones on that one-year, $3 million deal. A lot of those moved the needle beforehand, James, but as the season played out, certain ones played out better than others.
Yeah, they also added Jalen Reeves-Maybin for a cheap one-year contract and got a backup quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. Injuries, of course, played a big role in those with Mosley and Gardner-Johnson really not working out and Cam Sutton not working out for other reasons.
For sure. And you know what? I think I forgot to mention that the Lions brought Emmanuel Mosley back this year. He was technically, I think, a free agent, so he mm-hmm. does count as well. And yeah, so some of those didn't work. And that also goes to that idea that we've talked about. And we understand that Brad Holmes doesn't want to spend those big, big money contracts on external guys because there's more variables. And they brought Emmanuel Mosley back again, but this time at a different price and I think with different expectations.
Yeah, I think the last year he was brought in with the expectation to be a starting corner and probably the number one corner in front of Cam Sutton, with Sutton being the number two. Getting Mosley at a discount deal because he was coming off an injury. This year they get an even more of a discount deal because he's coming off a second consecutive season-ending injury. So if he comes back and he plays the level he was at with the 49ers 2 years ago, they got themselves a heck of a bargain and a number one, number two corner in the NFL to go with guys that they already added to the defensive backs and may even add more in the draft. I would expect they would add more in the draft.
Yeah. And so the analysis, the overall analysis on this year's free agent signing class thus far, because you brought up Teddy Bridgewater, right? The Lions got him, but when did they get him? Was that like right around that first preseason game or it was really late? So as again,
pretty late.
Yeah, the free agency period isn't over, just their frenzy is. And I wouldn't be shocked to see the Lions sign a safety at some point as a free agent. They might draft someone as well, and we'll get into that. But I would be surprised if they don't sign a veteran safety, considering there's so many out there and the Lions have such a lack of depth at that position. So where we stand right now, though, how are you feeling about the moves that have been made, and is there anything you left wanting more of?
Obviously – a lot of people, I think, were clamoring for another corner after the release of Cam Sutton. You know, before that, I think people thought that they were pretty good at corner, you know, with the additions of Davis, re-signing Mosley and adding Robertson to the mix at corner along with Sutton. But and then re-signing Kendall Vildor for a little more extra depth. You know, he did play pretty well for a guy walking in off the street. You know, the last third of the season, people remember him badly for that one play in the 49ers game, in the NFC title game. But he did play pretty admirably and beat out Jerry Jacobs and cost Jerry Jacobs a job later in the season. So, he's not that bad of a guy to have around as what is probably right now your number five corner.
Yeah, you know, I was very hopeful they would bring Kendall Vildor back because I like the physicality of his play. And you're right, there were a few times where he was on the wrong end of a highlight reel. But we're not expecting him to be a starting defensive back. And he got thrust into that based on what options were available. And if you have a guy like him at like number four or five even, especially, I mean, that's some amazing depth. And so I like that, that they brought him back. I agree with the release of Cam Sutton. The Lions probably need more defensive back help, at least one more player on the roster. I would like to see that to be a starting person, but as I've said in previous episodes, when you and I talked, Amik Robertson thinks he can be that guy. And so, you know what? They might have a starter right there. We still want more depth, and that's something I think we're going to see in the draft, which we'll get to. But the DJ Reader signing was huge. That was the biggest splash, if you consider them making a big signing. That was the big one. But I like it. I'm happy with the moves they made. I wish that Josh Reynolds was back, and we're going to talk a little bit about Reynolds not being here and how that impacts us. But the Lions could still sign somebody here in the next week or two. I don't think we're going to really see anything else before the draft. I think at this point, anyone who hasn't signed with most teams is going to wait and see how the chips fall so they know what environment they're going into. And the teams at that point might know what holes they still have, which then might get them to pony up a little bit more money for some of these players.
Yeah, and the DJ Reader was the splash move of the offseason, kind of the Sutton move of last year was their splash move. This year was getting DJ Reader, paying him what, 13 and a half a season, I think it is, for 2 years. They also get themselves a guy who's a force in the middle at defensive tackle and an underrated pass rusher, not a guy who's going to get a lot of sacks, but a guy who's going to generate pressure and prevent the quarterback from stepping up in the pocket nearly as much.
And that's big and be very helpful and might actually help be a key contributor to changing how we're able to defend against those mobile quarterbacks. And so that would be a very welcome change. I think most Lion fans would agree with. So let's turn our attention to the draft. How does this set us up for the draft? Well, James, as you already know, but let's do a little recap. Here's where the Lions stand. The Lions are drafting 29th this year. And the last time the Lions drafted this late in the first round with their own pick was 1992. And that's a long time ago. That was after the 1991 NFC Championship season. And they selected with pick number 26 because there were only 28 teams in the league. At that pick, and I mentioned this a few episodes, I think, ago, they took defensive end Robert Porche. Man, if we found a guy like him at that 29 spot, that would be amazing. Three-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro, 75th Lions anniversary team. And so Lions are picking 29th. We have 32 teams. The Lions have drafted at 29 before. The last time we did that, I think, was in 1988 when we drafted Chris Spielman, and that's when the 29th pick was in the second round, if I've got those facts straight. So we have picked at that spot before. So this year, the Lions currently have 7 picks. Now, we've already traded one of our third-round picks, and this number is likely to change some more, as we know Brad Holmes likes to move around the board. But the Lions have their first-round pick in the first and second at number 29 overall. In the third round, we have the Vikings pick. That's like the 9th pick. Then we have a 5th-round pick of ours. We have our 6th-round pick as well as a 6th-round pick from Tampa, I believe, with the Carlton Davis trade, and a 7th-round pick. So that's where we sit, which means there's a bit of a gap between our 3rd-round pick and our 5th-round pick. So, James, let's talk about positions the Lions might want to target or we might think they're going to target here. What's on your mind?
You know, if they go position and they don't, stick to Brad Holmes' MO and just purely draft the best player available, which he may well do, which destroys a lot of people mock draft because almost everybody that mock drafts for need or what they perceive as need. And the one position that the Lions could upgrade would be defensive end. They could add another corner. And those would be guys that are available around there. Another wide receiver is even a possibility. I wouldn't rule it out. There should be some pretty decent options there at wide receiver at that position and offensive line. Put yourself in position to be able to lose somebody either to injury or free agency. Maybe Taylor Decker doesn't sign an extension or retires or something like that, or Frank Reich now retires because of his injuries to his feet. So if they draft a lineman there, they could put themselves in position to get ahead of some of those things.
Yeah, a lot of people, the popular picks are defensive back, defensive end, wide receiver, and offensive line. Those are the ones we're hearing, and for good reasons. Let's talk about when and where, though, okay? Now, positioning, the Lions, Brad Holmes has moved up and down before. He moved up to number 12 to get Jameson Williams. He moved back to number 12 to get Jahmyr Gibbs, and maybe the Lions should just trade with the Denver Broncos right now and get that 12th pick locked up so we can grab somebody else from the SEC like he likes to do, or the Big Ten. But obviously, that's probably not going to happen. Denver's probably drafting a quarterback either at that spot or drafting or moving up to get one. But the point is, the Lions could go up or down. The difference is they have a lot less capital to play with this year than they have in the past. So we talked best available. I think we learned that last year. Nobody thought Lions were going to take Jahmyr Gibbs. Some people were starting to whisper Bijan Robinson. We were like, oh, that could be crazy good. But we had just signed David Montgomery, and we still had DeAndre Swift. Now, I think most people outside of Detroit were higher on Swift than the people in Detroit due to those injury-plagued seasons and just not seeing him live up to his potential, even though we saw flashes of it. But going into the draft, you're like, you've got David Montgomery and DeAndre Swift. You don't really need a running back. Yet they took him, and then they traded Swift. So like you said, you don't really know how things are going to work out and what the Lions are going to do. And you can put your best guess, and we can say some things that make a lot of sense, but in the end of the day, it's going to depend on multiple factors. Who's there, and who does Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell have their eye on?
Yeah, and who else moves around up in front of them? You know, you may see some teams that trade up ahead of them. You may see some teams that trade back in the first round that get the position themselves in front of them, and that can alter what player they're going to take. You know, if they're looking for something in specific, you know, the Denver Broncos, I think, have another pick right in front of the Lions this year. And they're probably going to be looking for a wide receiver. So if you're looking for that same wide receiver, maybe the Lions are looking to trade a pick ahead of them. There's all this kind of thing. And, you know, there's the whole thing with, you know, who the Lions bring in for their 30 visits and all this, which I don't think really matters a whole lot because they haven't drafted a whole lot of those guys over the years.
Okay, well, that's some great insight right there. And so, yeah, the things are going to move around. I mean, everybody thought that the Lions were taking a defensive back in Devin Witherspoon at number 6 last year. And we still probably believe that would have happened if Seattle hadn't taken him. But that was number 6. At number 29, there's going to be a lot of movement likely before you get to pick. And even if there isn't movement, there will likely be some surprise picks and there could be some surprise drops. So we talk about best available, but I think we mean within reason, because if J.J. McCarthy falls all the way down to 29 and he's rated the highest guy on the board, I don't think the Lions are taking him. We're thinking quarterback, tight end, running back, first round. I don't think that's happening. Now,
if he falls there, then they'd be calling other teams and saying, who wants to trade up?
Exactly. That's exactly what they would be doing. And that would be good. Kind of like, wasn't it the Ravens who traded like to the last pick of the first round for Lamar Jackson? And when he fell or was there. So, yeah, they would do exactly that. That's a great point, James. So who do I like early for the Lions? I like offensive line and wide receiver. You kind of hit on those. And I think that's due to depth of the draft as well as some needs for the Lions. Let's start with the wide receiver thing. The Lions are still looking for that big X guy. Now, Josh Reynolds was a 6'3" guy, and he is no longer there. Donovan Peoples-Jones and Antoine Green are each 6'2", so that's some good size. But I don't know what we have in Antoine Green. I don't know if the Lions do. And I think there's still a lot of question in Donovan Peoples-Jones as well. So the Lions could use a tall X guy. If it's not one of those guys to emerge, you get somebody else in there. Someone you got to believe they're going to probably target like that. Now, think about this. Even with Reynolds here last year, James, they still brought in Marvin Jones. And then they tried to sign, or they brought in Denzel Mims in training camp. And when Jones retired, they went and got Donovan Peoples-Jones. So they tried adding something when they had Reynolds. And now that he's gone, and he was way more productive than Donovan Peoples-Jones and Antoine Green, I would be shocked if they don't add to it. Now, Peoples-Jones could do more with another offseason. And I know J-Mo is expected to take another step forward this year, but we're talking about a different receiver type than Jamison Williams. And here's another big key thing that I'd love your thoughts on, is you can only pay a wide receiver room so much. And we know Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to get that new contract, and it's going to be pretty big. So if they can get another impactful wide receiver on a rookie deal, wouldn't that really help the equation?
Yeah, a bit. I mean, you know, a first-round pick's not going to be super cheap, but, you know, not, you know, prohibitively expensive either. You know, they got Jamison Williams already on a first-round pick contract too, but again, it's not prohibitively expensive and they've got him for 2 more years under kind of cost controlled. I think you get an extra year with first round picks. So, you know, so they've got him kind of locked up for a little bit, but if you add in a third one, you know, why not build a strength on a strength, you know, make the offense even more multidimensional than it was last season, you know, and while still trying to maybe later on in the draft, add yourself some depth to the O-line, you know, maybe, and then kind of pick the the defense here or there, you know, add another lineman, add a corner where you can. There's some pretty good depth at those positions that they need that happens to overlap in this draft. You know, that it's a deep wide receiver draft. It's a deep corner draft. It's a pretty good offensive line draft and it's not the greatest defensive line draft, but it's pretty decent at the defensive tackle. And there's a decent number of edge rushers sprinkled around in the draft that they can find somebody. You know, had they missed out and not re-signed Brock Wright, it's not the greatest tight end draft, not like it was last year or the year before that. So I think that played a part in why they re-signed Brock Wright for that contract.
Yeah, I love bringing him back for multiple reasons. One, we've already seen what he can do. Two, he knows the system already, so there's that on-ramp you don't have to try to get. And like you said, the depth of it is, all right, if you're going to try and bring someone in, is it going to be a second-round draft pick you're going to use on that guy versus a different position? You hit on it, and we've heard a lot of people talk about it. Offensive line, wide receiver, defensive back are all deep in this draft. They all happen to coincide with needs of the Detroit Lions. And, you know, if the Lions went offensive line with that first pick, well, their first-round pick wouldn't be a starter. And that's okay because we really need some depth on that offensive line, A, for right now, and B, for the not-too-distant future, whether it's interior or the tackle position. I mean, we did not have much depth at that tackle position last year. And fortunately, we had flexibility on the interior, and we had some guys step up, and they got the job done. And so I think we could see – early on, all three of those positions. If you were to ask me the three positions the Lions take in the first three rounds, I would say offensive line, wide receiver, and defensive back, potentially in that order, but not necessarily. It all depends who falls, who's there, what the grades are. But those are the three that I like the most early on.
Yeah, I like those as well. And, you know, and it could be if the Lions move around, they could pick up more picks. They could, you know, get themselves into positions to take different players. So there's all that kind of stuff. But there's so many players in the first three rounds of the draft that fit what the Lions not only need, although they don't have gigantic needs, glaring needs coming into this draft. They just have player positions that could be upgraded more than others, but also fit what the Lions want as far as a culture fit, you know, work ethic, all the things kind of off the field. Sort of that they want, you know, and I think that's kind of what they use some of those 30, you know, the 30 visits that they get is almost to cross guys off the list rather than put them on the list.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well, because they've done most of their homework. They're probably already on the list if they're there. And like you said, they're trying to say, all right, do they need to stay on this list or do they need to be removed from it so we can pivot to something else?
Mm-hmm. And I bet you one of the other things that's been great about the draft the last couple of years with Brad Holmes is he seems to have a really good take on what other teams want and who the other teams like. And I almost think that he uses some of those visits to gauge whether other teams have been talking to those guys.
I still want to know how he knew Amon-Ra St. Brown would still be there in the fourth round. I don't doubt that he saw the talent. And, mm-hmm. and you know, yes, you know, how did he know that people didn't see what he saw? And so you're right. He does seem to know what other teams are leaning towards or doing. And it's pretty incredible what he's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he takes those guys that are missing one trait and fall in the draft. And hits on a lot of late round picks because of that. You know, we talked about it a little bit, I think, way back, you know, but hitting on late round picks like Malcolm Rodriguez, he was too short for a linebacker. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, he was not considered to be elite speed or, you know, tall for a wide receiver. So he fell in the draft, you know, and just a lot of those guys who have like one little knock on them. So a lot of GMs will take them off their list. And he just sees that as a bargain. You know, even Hendon Hooker last year, you know, he's old for a rookie, you know, so he's like, you know what, I don't need to have him when he's 36 and 37. I'll take him when he's 26, 27.
Yeah. And so let's look at this idea of a starting position. The Lions are going to draft somebody, and if they were to draft somebody that was going to be a starter this year, I mean, they got a lot of starters last year. I would not expect the same return because I wouldn't expect the same number of picks and the same number of spots. So if there was like one position or two that you're like, I would love it if the Lions drafted a starter at this position to upgrade or enhance where we're currently at. Is there a certain position that you're like, it'd be great to get a starter here because that would make our team better?
I would say corner and defensive end. You know, if you can find somebody that's better than Marcus Davenport, you've definitely made your team better. And you have a nice, a great defensive end coming off the back, you know, or off the bench there to have. So that's a luxury. And the same thing with corner. You know, I think last year showed that you can't have too much depth at corner. And, you know, I think they're just going to mass cornerbacks this offseason and have a crowded cornerback room. And, you know, they want to be able to play more man defense. So I think in the draft, you're going to look at corners who can play man rather than ones who only have ever played zone. And, you know, so I think that's something that they want to do with this defense. So I think that's another thing that can kind of lead you to a little bit to who they have an eye on.
Yeah, those are a couple spots that there are still more variables than the others. We think the offensive line is set, but we know long-term depth is an issue, and current depth is an issue. We replaced the loss of Jonah Jackson, but we still need a really good backup that can play center or guard, as well as one at tackle. We have some guys that could be potentials, but I think the Lions want more guys in that room. So I'm expecting somebody in the first three rounds, and I'm expecting somebody, you know, in like that fifth or sixth round area as well. Let's talk about position, James. Do you like the idea of the Lions moving up and getting drafting earlier? Do you like the idea of them trading back? Do you have a preference? Now, last year I went on record at the sixth spot that my hope was the Lions would trade back and get more picks. If they didn't take Witherspoon, so I was like, if the right guy's not there, do that. And that's what happened, and I was really thankful for that because you maximized return on investment there as long as you can still get the players you want. Now at 29, what are you thinking? What do you like? Do you have a preference?
I think it all depends on who falls there. If the Lions are on the clock and, you know, they have on their board that there's just one guy available in that area on their board that they think is a good pick for that spot in the draft, I think they'll just stay there and take that guy. If there's three or four left that they think are guys that we would have picked at 29 that are still left, then they'll probably trade back a couple of spots and just say, we're still going to get one of our guys, pick up some extra picks, get some more guys to develop, you know, get another pick in the, you know, say third, fourth round and be able to take that extra guard to develop, you know, behind your starters or you know, develop a tackle or another corner or safety, whatever, you just build yourself more and more depth.
All right, well, then let's go the other direction. What if at number 17 or 19 or 20, there's a guy the Lions really like and they trade up for him? What are your thoughts on that and giving up a later round pick? And I don't know what it would take to move up to 19 or 20 if that's going to be your third round pick because we don't have a fourth rounder. Is that too much or what are you thinking on the move up thing?
I think it's a little bit less just because, like you said, they don't have as much draft capital as they've had the last couple of years because they amassed all those extra draft picks between compensatory picks and the Matthew Stafford trade and a few other trades here and there. So they don't have a massive amount of picks. They would have that extra third to maybe do it had they not made the Carlton Davis trade. But I think that makes it a little bit less likely, but it also shored up a position for them. So you can't blame them for doing that at all.
Yeah, from what I've heard from most analysts is Carlton Davis III is going to be a better defensive back than anybody else you could have drafted in the third round on opening day of this year, the NFL mm-hmm. kickoff weekend. So you're right with that.
He's a man corner. He's a man corner that you can stick on the other team's number one receiver.
Yeah, and so I don't see us necessarily moving up unless we get a deal like we did with the Minnesota Vikings for Jameson Williams. When we traded up and it was like, that's all we had to give to trade up. I mean, I was shocked. My best friend, who's a Vikings fan, he was upset that that's all the Vikings got in return. He's like, that's it? And so, you know, and we saw the Lions trade up last year to get Brian Branch, right, you know, with the Packers. So, but like you, we don't have as much to play with to give up. And anybody in that second and third round is going to be a valuable pick, a valuable asset to this roster, somebody that will provide depth, if not compete for a starting spot. So I expect us to not likely move up and move back if there's, like you said, if there's three or four guys there in that spot that we like and you can move back. You know, you might, again, get somebody who's got an early, early second round pick that wants to jump up and get somebody right there for that fifth year option, or because they don't think they're going to last. And that could just provide the Lions an extra third or fourth round pick. That could be very valuable.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Holmes has shown that he kind of likes to have a pick in every round, or you know, so I think you could totally see a scenario where they would maybe just trade down a pick or two at the end of the first round, or maybe into the early second round, and pick up like a third or a fourth, you know, and maybe some other picks next year or something. But you know, I can totally see a trade like that. If there's multiple guys that, you know, if they get to 29 and like three of the corners that they like and two of the defensive ends that they like are all there, trade down and get one of the guys you like and get somebody else that you like later.
All right, now James, I just heard you say that. Everyone that's listening just heard you say that. So I have a question for you. You're going to the NFL draft in Detroit. It's 11:30 at night. The Lions are on the clock and they trade out of the first round. How are you going to react?
I'll probably just have another beer and start the next day a little bit earlier.
Okay. All right. All right.
That early pick in the second round, you know, I don't know that Brad Holmes will let that pressure of the draft being in Detroit get to him and say, oh, I have to keep my first round pick, you know, because our fans are here more so than normal because the draft is in our backyard. I just don't see him being the guy who's going to give into that peer pressure to not trade out of the first round if he has the opportunity to get good value.
Oh, I agree with that completely. That would not affect him. I just was thinking from the fan perspective. And again, as well as Brad Holmes has done drafting with this franchise, if he's trading back, it means he thinks he can still get somebody. And guess what? He just got us another draft pick in the process. So it's just looking from the fan aspect. But wasn't it in Kansas City and they didn't have a first round pick? Didn't that happen there, if I'm remembering correctly?
It's happened a bunch of times, yeah. But yeah. I don't think that'll play any kind of role with his decision making. You know, would it be a little bit of a disappointment if you've been sitting there the whole time and waiting around and they trade back? Yeah, kind of. But also, I love the trade back option. You know, when I do like the mock draft simulators, I'm trading back multiple times in the first round and just stockpiling second and third round picks, and I love doing that. So it's not going to make me upset at all.
All right. Well, any other thoughts you have on the NFL draft and things coming up with that? Any things you want to talk about with that?
No, I think we're going to have a full like pre-draft show coming up here in a bit. So I'll save the stuff for that.
All right. Well, then one last thing I want to get on, but actually we have a couple of announcements coming here at the end of the show, but here's an update I want to give, which is on season tickets. Rod Wood at the owners meeting said it was approaching about 20,000 seats on that wait list. And Lions season tickets had a 96% retention rate, which means not a lot of new space available. Well, here's the new numbers, folks. Out of those about 18,000 to 19,000, they got about 8,000 seats off of that original wait list into the building. And they currently have about 9,000 to 10,000 seats on that list still. It seems to me the Lions may have changed some single game tickets to season tickets, but that's just an educated guess. I know there are still single game tickets available because that is required by the NFL, and there are groups that attend the Lions games and stuff like that. So you can still get tickets. You'll be able to, but if you're going to get a single game ticket, you're going to want to be ready when that schedule comes out, and that should be around early to mid-May, because as soon as they get posted, you're going to want to grab them. Now, James, I did a little comparing around the league right now. I just wanted to see a few other teams with season tickets. The Minnesota Vikings are an interesting one. They have about a 3 to 7 year wait to get season tickets right now. And they say they only have about 800 people on the wait list. But the reason it takes so long is you have to pay a licensing fee for the seat of about $500 to $3,700 for each seat. And then you pay the cost of the ticket each year. And there's actually a secondary market where a lot of that gets exchanged. So it's a little bit different than the Lions. The Bears, they have a wait list of 8,000 to 9,000. And based on previous experience, they told me that's about a 10 to 12 year wait. The Green Bay Packers, well, I think we all know that story, right? It's just a long, long, long wait. We know people who put their son on that list when he was born, just hoping someday he'll get it. And then I checked with one team in the Midwest out of our division, the Cleveland Browns. Season tickets wait list, they said it's about 8,000 people, and it's about a couple-year wait. So just a little bit of information there. Any thoughts on the season ticket situation, how it compares to others, or anything like that?
Yeah, it just goes to show how popular the NFL is in the United States and how dominant it is on the sports landscape. You know, I don't think that you have backlogs like that in any other sport.
That's pretty incredible.
You know, so I mean, it's just pretty amazing.
All right. Well, here are a couple announcements here before we get out of here, James. One is about our next episode. We're actually dropping another one on Thursday this week. We have an interview with a former Detroit Lion from last year where we talk about his rookie year in the NFL, his adjustment to the pro game, and the many transitions he made through the season. So be sure to tune in for that. And the other is we launched a new website last month. Now, it's still not the same old Lions.com. But instead of just episodes to choose from, we have written content as well. And this allows us to get info out quicker to you in between shows. So we hope you check that out. James, thanks for all the expert insights as usual. It's getting exciting here with the draft getting this close.
Yeah, it is. I can't wait.
All right. And thank you so much, folks, for tuning in. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.